What was your first experience of the internet?
First experience of the internet doing me any good actually didn't come properly, you know, until 1984 with email, and you're talking 1969. So in the meantime, it was that it was just for a small select few.
I think I've had the internet since I was a baby, because my dad was always into it.
We started with a 56k modem, and so that took a long time to connect, a lot of beeps. I used to be able to hum it back exactly. I don't think I'd do it. I could do it now.
It was 15 years before I saw any benefit from that so-called breakthrough. Yeah.
What was that benefit? Just
it was email.
So the first thing I remember was in 1984 when I was a PhD student at the University of Sheffield, and we were connected to the JanetNet for the first time, and we got access to email. So a group of five or six of us gathered around a terminal and sent an email to Edinburgh to Andrew Blake, who was recently the director of the Turing Institute. And we sent him an email that said, "Hello, Andrew." We then waited 3 days for it to arrive, and we had to keep ringing him up to find out when it had got there, but it did get there.
I remember using old computers that were networked up in my primary school. They were like BBC computers, and we were doing some Nomad game, and that was networked at least. Whether it was online, I'm not sure. I think mostly it was web access, and I was building websites fairly young at 15, which was fun to do, but yeah, just slow loading, noisy internets is what I remember.
One of my first memories, I guess, is sitting in an internet cafe in Cambridge a number of years ago with one of the first web browsers. So was it, I want to say like Netscape or something like this, and opening up the web browser and actually seeing web pages for like the first time, really. That was probably one of my first memories. This must have been 25 years ago. So, you know, not a long time ago, but a while ago.
So I was in Technical University of Berlin, and we had the first connection to ARPANET or whatever it was at the time. And so what I was doing, yes, I was subscribed to the Anarchy mailing list, which was pretty interesting.
So my dad worked at BT during the 90s, so he was involved with really helping roll the internet out. So it was quite cutting edge in our house. And I remember we had dial-up and having to hang up the phone every time we wanted to use the internet. And it used to drive my mum spare because she'd want us to get off in case somebody called.
Well, one of the first times I went online, I started reading FRAC, which is an ASCII-only digital magazine about how to hack telephones in particular and how to get free onto the internet system. And yeah, I just thought it was fantastic.
So for me, I think it was going around my friend Alan's house and going on bulletin board systems to arrange games of Doom 2. So that was probably, what, the early 90s, 94, 95, something like that. And then coming home and learning about Apple's eWorld, which was a whole new world for me. I was really excited. I thought, it's going to be GUIs now, isn't it? You're going to have like a picture of your town and you go to your little email area. And it was not like that. It was really bad.
All this whole community of people who are trying to understand this system that was still being developed, and it was sort of like an active race of people trying to figure out how it works and how you can subvert it.
It was took forever because the telcos' vested interests got in the way. They wanted to run the world, and they had to be told firmly that it wasn't just them. So yes, of course, if you were to ask me, how, if it took that long to get to email, how long did it take from the 1969 to get to the World Wide Web and browsers everywhere? Well, 1994. It took 25 years for it to get beneficial enough that people could casually visit other sites and see web pages and stuff. Quite amazing.
I don't actually remember the first time I got on the internet. It probably would have been at school, I would think. We did eventually get America Online, but I think I would have seen it first at school.
I sort of remember search engines coming out. I remember, you know, the early days of searching for things and sort of being excited by that. And also curious, you know, I remember contributing to, was it Open Directory, something like that? I remember like there being like an independent Yahoo Directory equivalent. And I remember sort of adding sites to that and sort of, you know, playing my part in like, you know, as a very young child, contributing to what I felt was going to be the future of how people find things.
Yeah, it was a really long time ago when I was using one of those old more than 28 kilobytes that took like 2 minutes to connect. And then my father was saying, what the hell is that noise that you have when you take the phone? I think it was like back in Spain, something called Terra.es that then collapsed at some point. I was pretty fun actually, but that's the only search engine that we had at the time, and you couldn't do much with it, to be honest. Yeah, but that's quite fun at the time.
We got an amazing 3 kilobytes per second download, you know, so that was maybe a, you know, if you were downloading an MP3, that would be, you know, quite a while it would take, as opposed to fractions of a second.
You had the phone cable that I was dragging through the whole house, and you'd have to ask the parents, because it was like, oh, they were still, I'm from Luxembourg, so we still had a different currency, and it cost like, you know, 5 francs per minute to use the internet, and grandma couldn't call. Yes, the good old days.
I do remember that as soon as I understood what the internet was and how it worked, I immediately started trying to make my own website. Which I did. It was terrible. But that's my early memories of the internet are like trying to write HTML in all caps in Notepad. It was a simpler time.
I was thinking last night about bulletin boards and the fact that actually with social media, we're just going back to doing exactly the same things now. It's great. You know, we're just posting stuff for people to see. It's the same stuff.
The first stuff I remember, I suppose, is listening to a modem dial up to connect to web pages. Not that there were that many web pages then, but the ones that did exist seemed to be absolutely loaded with blinking, flashing banners saying under construction and garish cyan fonts. It was a nightmare.
First memory of using the internet was in 1994. My brother just got back from university and had found out about the internet, and so then we had to have it at home. And so we bought a 28.8 US robotics modem for our Acorn Archimedes A3000, which was the family computer. You couldn't do much web browsing at the time because the A3000 wasn't much good at it. So I spent a lot of time on Telnet chat rooms. So they were called talkers at the time. It was a bit like a BBS. You could log on and talk to people on in kind of a terminal interface. So I spent hours on that, and then it all came crashing down when after a month of having that, we got the phone bill, which was for about £150, basically all of me, all for my dial-up internet talking. And from then on, I was limited to half an hour a day on the internet.
When I started using the internet, I was doing my master's studies. So, and it was back in my country of origin in Mexico, in a city called Chihuahua, like the dog.
Felt pretty exciting, you know. I guess that's probably one of the reasons that I went into computer science, is you kind of saw this massive opportunity of, you know, all this stuff's available and there's things we can do with it. And yeah, let's try and avoid some of the more visually unappealing fonts, but there's things we can do with the internet, right? I've never got any better at that, by the way.
Websites were a lot simpler back then. So I remember the start of Google. It looked kind of the same, but, you know, different font and stuff. It was obviously not quite the juggernaut it is now. And then just fun websites like hamsterdance.com. I don't know if you remember this.
No, what's Hamsterdance?
So animated GIFs were a big thing back in the late 90s. I mean, GIFs are coming back a bit, actually. But I just want to say that, you know, we started this. You know, my generation started the animated GIF in a big way. So hamsterdance.com, I went on the Wayback Machine, the Internet Archive, and found it. This is hamsterdance.com. It had fun music. Yeah, it had lots of animated hamster GIFs. It serves no purpose at all. Oh, that's still what the internet's for, actually, serving very little purpose. But, you know, back then, they took it to a different level. So, yeah, hamsterdance.com and other animated GIF-related nonsense.
Can we put a year on this, roughly?
Well, this, I'm looking here at 2000, but I would say 1999, 2000, somewhere around that. You didn't start, I mean, Facebook didn't exist until 2004. So this was before all that. websites were, if you look down, websites were mostly text. Hit counters at the bottom of websites were a big deal, right? We, you know, people wanted you to know that 1,000 people had been to their website.
Just like likes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like that. It's just like that.
If you look, the oldest Usenet messages about me is that I had a motorbike accident in 1982, I don't know. And the first big embarrassment I had for a company, I developed a parser generator in Common Lisp. And then somebody asked, they were interested in the code, and I was going to send it to him. And then I sent it to the mailing list, and I wasn't supposed to do this. And then he told me, oh, this your code is now already in Texas and where else? And I said, oh, I just posted the code which I had written for this company on the internet. So that was one of my first embarrassments in misusing the internet. Yeah.
So I think the first time I really remember going online was probably at primary school. And we used to have some maths lessons in the computer room where we'd get to play maths games. Very educational online.
Forgot about that. I remember asking my dad like multiple times, how do I spell Google? I can never remember. And there, before Google, I remember sort of typing in howtoprogram.com and other things.com in the hope that it would find the, you know, something interesting. But
actually, websites loaded nice and quickly, even on a 56K modem, because there's really only about 5 images and some text on here. So, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad.
I think all my friends at primary school had email addresses by the final year, and we'd be emailing each other after school.
I lived in a house with 11 guys, 11 students, and for quite a long time. And I built our own server that allowed everybody to, you know, use the internet through it. And actually, we first used a coaxial cable. It was an end-to-end cable. But then at some point, we moved to Ethernet. But I was amazed how at that time all passwords were just sent on plain text. And because I wrote the server, I could drop all the packets and I could sniff all the passwords. And, you know, and people didn't believe me that was done. And I just showed one of my student friends, like, look, is that your password? He said, damn. Yeah, so I got it. Yeah.
What sort of era is this? Is we in the 19?
So I started going online in 1995. So that was very early. So it was things like Gopher and Telnet and arcane library methods. There was no internet search yet at that time.
We had AOL in our house, and we were, there was that annoying noise where it was dialing in, and it would get like 3 stages across, and that little AOL person would move along. And then, every web page would be like, loading, got a bit of a picture. Yeah, that seems to be my early memories, I think.
When I first started using the internet, we didn't use the web that much. The Atari wasn't up to it, particularly before I got actual TCP/IP connectivity. But one of the things we did was we emailed people. And I can remember that I was a big fan of Babylon 5, still am. And at that time, the writer, Joe Michael Straczynski, had his email address public. And I can remember emailing him with questions about things in the show, and he would respond. So that was great. You were sort of emailing the people who were creating things.
Well, my first memories of going online, I was in a student house in the early 90s, and a friend of mine bought a 14,400 modem, and he had somehow discovered some phone numbers for BBS's, bulletin board systems. I think it was bulletin board system. Anyway, BBS's, where you could go onto a bulletin board and leave posts or read things or download things from them. And this BBS would allow you to have a certain amount of internet time through their system. So that was my first memory of going online. We sent a few emails, we looked at a few things, and I suppose it went from there.
50 years of the internet this week. Phil, what's your memories of the internet?
Unfortunately, I'm now nearly 52, and my memory is much depleted and deteriorated compared to what it used to be. I can't really remember. It's ridiculous. I can't remember sending a first email. I was at university between 1985, 1990, doing undergraduate degree, and I certainly remember mucking around with the mainframes, mucking around with the VAXes and playing around, but I can't remember sending an email. What I can vividly remember, however, is going to a synchrotron, which is a particle accelerator, weak condensed matter physicist. physicists aren't so much interested in the particles, we're interested in the light those particles give off. And that was in a place called Daresbury, which is pretty well equidistant between Liverpool and Manchester, right in the middle of Liverpool and Manchester. And I remember going there to do an experiment and sending an excited email back saying, you won't believe it, they've got a browser here and you can actually see images on it. It downloads images and puts it without any sort of FTP stuff. And that's my overriding memory, getting so excited of a browser. It was Netscape or Nutscrape, as they used to call it, that brought up the images. And I remember sort of that type of thing. That's my overriding memory. And of course, dial up. But everybody says dial up, I'm sure. So.
I had an Amiga computer, right? This is like an Amiga 500 or 1200, I can't remember. And I remember spending hours downloading the Debian 2.0 distribution from the internet. This is probably, you know, it's probably like 50, 60 megabytes or something like that. Hours and hours downloading it so I could install it, because I'd heard about this Linux thing. I was interested in it. And so I was downloading these packages and like gradually sort of installing it on my Amiga. And that's sort of one of the earliest things I remember. I also remember, again, sort of going on to download demos. So, you know, people would write these kind of demos for the Amiga, pushing the hardware to the limit. And, you know, this is like 2 or 3 megabytes. And, you know, it's like hours of downloading just to kind of watch this demo. Because you used to have to get that stuff from public domain discs. So you'd send some money through the post and say, I want these discs. And you'd get these discs back in the post. And so being able to do that via the internet was a kind of completely different experience. But, you know, obviously it took a really, really long time.
I remember emailing a friend who was in Australia on a gap year. And they were on a university system over there, assuming that we'd be doing backwards and forwards emails. So this email popped up and they sent a reply and thought we'd be back on it, but we didn't go online again for a couple of days. So it was definitely in its infancy, that sort of system for us as consumers at home, even though the internet was obviously whatever it already was, 20 years old or whatever it was already.
I also remember actually with it going back to the Amiga again, spending hours trying to configure something called AMI-TTP, which is like a TTP stack for the Amiga. And it was really, you know, I had no experience of using these sorts of bits of software, like, you know, networking software. So I was spending hours trying to configure it just to get online. And I completely failed. And I think we ended up buying some kind of some other TTP stack software.
First time I saw the internet was when I was at work. And they brought in this computer and plugged a modem in and went, this is a great new thing, the internet. We went to the search thing and it brought back hardly any results because there was nothing on there. So we kind of went, come back to us when there's actually things on there. A couple of years after that, I got an email address and started, it was actually a good communication tool. And things started appearing on the web and it started actually being practical then. So, but until then, we'd use Janet at university, but it didn't really have internet connectivity. All you could do was talk to students and academics.
So my first memory of the internet is this ability to see text, images from, you know, other places on Earth. I wasn't there, but I could read what other people were saying and thinking. That was fantastic. First electronic communications through the chat programs at the time. If I recall correctly, there was something called IRC chat. To be honest, I don't get it. So I do remember the chatting programs that will allow you to, you know, talk to people that you haven't met before, and that was strange but very interesting feeling.
Really, the first things I can remember, which can't be the first things, but is like using IRC. Using things like the undernet and using FTP servers, this type of thing. And I remember we did very early on, we did an OECD project that looked at the use of digital technology and the internet for education. So we started communicating and chatting via IRC chat rooms, etc.
We were in the maths building, which is what OER today, and we didn't actually have a connection to the outside world, but psychology did. So you could connect across to psychology's computer, dial up London, log into one of London's nodes, and then you could use the internet, very, very slow, and of course it was going across satellite. So you'd connect to, I don't know, there weren't very many sites, but there were a few places you could pick up software. So you'd log into those. But because it was going over a satellite, you'd type like letter A, and it would take about 3 seconds for the A to come back. And so you'd start typing, and then you get very confused halfway through and have to delete it all. And this was all painfully slow, but we thought it was wonderful at the time.
First time I used it for my own benefit was trying to contact Alan Guth. He was at MIT, he still is, one of the most famous cosmologists alive, came up with the idea of inflation. And I wanted to visit the US. I was at Imperial, and we used to have to go up a corridor. There was the only computers that were, there were three computers up at the end of the corridor. And we'd have to go into this really dark room, and the computers were green little symbols going across them. That was the font style. And you'd type in your message and then send it. And you'd hear it go ping. And each of the destinations, it was as if it was being carried. Each line was pinging, pinging, pinging. And then eventually it pinged Alan.Guth at MIT. And it said, message received. And I thought, oh, wow, it's the first time. And then you have to wait about a day or 2 days. And then I kept going back and got nothing. And then one day he said, yeah, come over, come over. So I went over to the US. I saw Alan Guth. I saw Chandrasekhar, who won the Nobel Prize. So I arranged a tour. I went to Chicago. I went to MIT. I went to Berkeley. And it was great.
The internet
rules our lives.
Another lecturer called Hugh Smith, and he had contacts with UCL, and so we got into this sort of internet and ARPANET and early connections to that. And I started working on email software to try and make sense of all this stuff that was going on, get rid of all these exclamation marks.